So if you would, please take your Bibles and go to the book of Acts, chapter 3. Today is Sunday, February the 13th, 2022. There is a verse near the end of chapter 4 that I really want to look at, but first we're going to get some solid context by starting in verse 1 of chapter 3. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, that would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, born lame, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And this is remarkable because this tells us what the problem was. He was born with problems in his feet and ankle bones. Could never walk. And as we'll see a little later in this chapter, this guy's like 40 years old, over 40 years old. Every day, bring him to the temple. He asks for alms, can't walk, born lame. Well, his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping. Walking and leaping. Isn't that something? And praising God. I mean, this is quite a miracle. Not only did his feet and ankle bones receive strength and healed, but when you first learn to walk, you ever seen a child? They certainly aren't doing any leaping. They're doing a lot of wobbling. You know, I mean, I've only had two children, but when they walked, I was a nervous wreck because they're going to fall on, I'm ready to catch them. This man who had never walked, over 40 years old, and is leaping and walking. You know, the healing of the right muscles and the muscle memory and just so many things that you can, think about this wonderful healing. And all the people, verse 9, all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew him. I mean, for 40 years, every time you go by the gate temple, the gate Beautiful there, oh, there's that guy, how you doing? So people took notice, and they knew, verse 10, that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. Well, you would be too. All of us would have been. We'd be like, whoa! Holy cow, what happened? And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that's called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." And that was not very long ago that had happened. If you read in the Gospels, the people were saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." "But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you." Yeah, you were saying, "Barabbas, Barabbas." "And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith or believing in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith or the believing which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." It's through the name of Jesus Christ. "And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his holy, of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. The word repent means to change your mind. That's what the word biblically means when you read repent. It means to change your mind, and it's a change to something better. It doesn't mean, hey, you're leading a good life, I think I'll change my mind and be a bank robber. It means the word, the Greek word always means a change of your mind to something better. Well, what do they need to change their mind about? Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Repent ye therefore. And that's the same thing Peter said on the day of Pentecost. Remember in Acts 2? Mm-hmm. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Change your mind. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. You know, it says in John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Those that choose not to believe in Jesus Christ, they lose. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, we're in verse 24, all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken likewise, foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you from his iniquities. And as they spake unto the people, here they come, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. You think they'd be blessed that this lame guy who'd been there for 40 years was healed? Wow, this is great. What a wonderful day we're having. A great miracle of deliverance. Nope. And they laid hands on them. It means they arrested them, put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Wow. Quite a preaching that Peter did. They saw this fantastic miracle. Then Peter preached about Jesus Christ, and many of them repented, changed their mind. They got born again. They accepted Jesus as Lord and believed that God raised him from the dead. About 5,000. The only way that happened was because of the light of God's word that Peter spoke. Now it came to pass on the morrow, verse 5, here comes trouble, that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas, you'll notice that this list here isn't just a comma, but there's an and then another and another and. It's a figure of speech in the Bible. It means many ands. God did that for emphasis, so that you'd see each one. Their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and as many as were kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. A lot of these folks are the ones that condemned Jesus Christ. Saw what they did to him, right? And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole. If that's your question, Well, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. In other words, Jesus Christ was the stone that the builders rejected. And verse 12 is just fantastic. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Without Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven. You're not getting saved. You don't get salvation. It is one way only, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, Jesus Christ said. Well, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they didn't have PhDs like those guys did. Didn't have any letters after their name. Hi, I'm Peter, and this is all these letters after my name. No, I'm Peter the fisherman. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. What are you going to say against that? Mm-hmm. Nothing. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. So they sent them out so they could start their mumbling, you know. Verse 16. And they were saying, well, what are we going to do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them, and it's manifest to all them that dwell at Jerusalem. We can't deny it. All right, but that it spread no further. We don't want this spreading any further. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. We are going to absolutely forbid them. You are not allowed to speak to anyone in this name again. And they called them in and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John said, okay, we're sorry. Love this question. Love what Peter said. Peter and John answered and said, well, whether it's right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, now I'm warning you, you know, they just were putting the threat. You know, and these people these aren't idle threats. These are the same people that had Jesus Christ executed. The same people that beat him to a pulp during his trial and then brought him to Pilate and got him executed. So these aren't just, you know, people going, well, I don't. These aren't idle threats. So they threatened them some more. They let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. So they got back together with the believers and the other apostles, because this was Peter and John. And they went, wow, this great healing, you know, and they just shared the whole thing. And when they heard all this, verse 24, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. And here's their great prayer. And they said, Lord, you are God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. What a great way to start a prayer with great reverence to God. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Little side note there on verse 25. It says, by the mouth of thy servant David said, God spoke by the mouth of David. And he's referring here to Psalm 2. The word of God was written by men, but the Bible says holy men of God spake as they are moved by the Holy Spirit. God told them what to write. Who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage And the people imagined vain things. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Back to verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Our adversary, the devil, Satan, has a lot of names in the Bible, same entity, wants to get rid of God's word, stop people from hearing God's word, discredit God's word. The very first place in the Bible you read about our adversary is back in Genesis 3, and the very first words that God showed us from the adversary were to Eve, did God say? In other words, questioning God's word, what God said. And if you're familiar with that record, it gets to the point where the devil said, God's a liar. What God said is not true. It's a lie. In the Old Testament, Satan's plan was to not only get God's people, the children of Israel, away from the one true God and worshiping idols, but if you're familiar at all with the Old Testament, the adversary tried to wipe out, totally wipe out Israel because the promised Messiah was from Abraham's line. So if we could get rid of all those people, no Messiah will come. Well, that didn't work. But in the Gospels and in Acts, we see very clearly the enemy's efforts to get rid of God's word. And especially in the New Testament, in Acts, it's to get rid of the word of God pertaining to Jesus Christ, the gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ, all that was accomplished for mankind through the completed work of Jesus Christ. Let's get rid of that. And nothing has changed. And this has been going on since the first century. You know, the movement to get the Bible translated into the language of the people was a huge struggle. Huge struggle. You can look this up on persecution of Bible translators or a lot of places that you can look up. In the 1500s, a man by the name of William Tyndale, he was a scholar from Oxford, and he thought it would be a great idea if every person would have their own copy of the scriptures in English that they could read it. You know, the English-speaking people. And he wasn't alone. And he set out and translated the New Testament and the Old Testament. And he paid a dear price for it. Eventually, they found him because he was a hunted man, arrested him, and burned him at the stake. Him and many others gave their lives for the preservation of the scriptures, God's word. I think you're probably familiar with Martin Luther, who was heavily persecuted. And it was, you know, Martin Luther was a very troubled man for a long time, and what turned his life around was the scriptures. When he got his head into the scriptures, and he eventually translated the Bible, I think it was around 1522, from the Greek and the Hebrew manuscripts, translated it into German. So German people could read the scriptures. There was this great movement that, no, none of you people can have the Bible. We'll tell you what God has to say. Well, who would be behind that? God? No. I don't think so. But all through history, the adversary has tried to get rid of God's word. Some of you might be familiar with a man by the name of Brother Andrew, from Holland, I believe. And in the 50s, there's a book that's called God's Smuggler. Fascinating book. And he believed that God called him to get Bibles into communist countries. And during the 50s, the Bible was contraband. You got caught with the Bible, you're the minimum, you're going to go to jail. And Brother Andrew would bring carloads in to stop at the checkpoint and just pray, God, blind their eyes. Never got caught. Time and again, he did this. And so there's a book, God Smuggler, and then I forget what this second book that came out a number of years ago. I think it's called The Calling. There's a link on my blog on the side column where if you're interested in getting it. But do you know Brother Andrew is, I think, 94 years old? He's still moving God's word by getting Bibles. He was very much a part of getting Bibles to China. You know, you have to smuggle them in. And reaching out to Muslims. They need God's word. What a wonderful man. And it's amazing. But the enemy would like nothing better than for the whole world to be like so many countries that have banned the Bible, China, North Korea, many others. Do you know, last year, for those of you that know what an app is, you know, you can go to your app store and download an app to your phone. Last year, China banned the Bible app. If you're living in China and, you know, on their internet, whatever it is, go to your store, your app store, can't get the Bible. Who would God be behind that?
No.
So here in Acts, they prayed. Acts 4:29. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And it says, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness. The word boldness means to speak freely, to hold nothing back. It doesn't mean getting in someone's face and yelling. Wow, he was really bold. He was speaking so loudly. That's not what this word biblically means. It means to hold nothing back, to speak freely, to speak it all. Lord, grant unto thy servants with all boldness that we could unite together and overthrow this religious system that's persecuting us. They didn't pray that, did they? Lord, grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we could overthrow the Roman government and get them out of here. No, it's not what they prayed for. And it was a difficult time for them. I mean, imagine Roman soldiers in the streets. They're an occupied land. And the Roman soldiers had power. You don't mess with the Roman law. You have to deal with that. And then the religious leaders with all their power, they could certainly arrest you, beat you, have you executed. And yet their prayer was to freely speak God's word. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak your word. Why? So people could repent. They could change their mind and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and get born again. And not only that, and it says, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. It's a good prayer for us today, isn't it? God, grant unto us that with all boldness that we can have open doors to speak your word to people that are interested, to people that want to know, that we could speak your word with all boldness and that signs and wonders could follow. It's a good prayer. Jesus Christ did not advocate a political revolution in his day. You know, there's one place in the Gospels where it says, I don't know, his relatives or some people wanted to come and take him by force and make him a king. That'll solve everything. We'll put you on the throne. You'll be the new king of Israel. He was having none of that. None of that. Go to Acts 26, if you would. In Acts 26 is one place where you can see the commission that Paul had from Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ appeared to Paul. And this is the commission that he had. We'll just read a part of it. That he was speaking this when he was imprisoned to King Agrippa. Acts 26, verse 16 says, "But rise and stand upon thy feet." And this is Jesus speaking to Paul, and Paul is telling what happened. "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of these things which you have seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." For what purpose? Verse 18, "to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Paul was not sent to organize and unite and begin a big political revolution. He wasn't sent to overthrow governments or religious establishments. You know, when Paul went from city to city, he didn't go in there to get people into the new movement. He went into those places to get the word of God into people so that they could receive God's blessings. He was sent to bring the light of God's word so that people's eyes could be opened. Because God's word opens people's eyes. Well, why are people's eyes not open? Well, look at 2 Corinthians 4. See, in looking at this morning, it's the big picture that we got to keep our eyes on. The big picture. And in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, well, verse 3 is okay too. 2 Corinthians 4, 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." It's the God of this world, Satan, the devil, the adversary, the roaring lion, whatever you want to call him, blinds people's eyes from the light of God's word. And then a lot of times he has helpers, right? "We don't want to have everybody have their own Bible in their own language. Well, we can't have that. Try to do it, we'll kill you." Who are they working for? Not the one true God. But the adversary will use any means. It says in 2 Corinthians 11:3, it says, "But I fear lest any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ." Any means. And you see, the more that people see the light of God's word, their eyes are opened. Their eyes are open. And they have an opportunity to change their mind. The light of God's word allows people to see things in their own lives, as well as things in the world that are contrary to God. Their eyes are open. They're like, "Whoa, look at this." The reason it becomes apparent is because the light of God's word has opened their eyes. I remember somebody gave an example one time of how the light of God's word, it's like if you... I don't know if you ever lived anywhere where there were roaches. This is kind of a vivid illustration. But the roaches don't normally hang out when the light's on. And there was this one instance where I was at someone's house and it was nighttime, went into the kitchen and turned the lights on. It was like... It's like a little army of roaches, and they went hiding. Well, without the light, if you walked into the kitchen, hopefully not barefoot, light shows us what's going on, and the light of God's word shows us what is contrary to God. The more the light of God's word gets to people in our day and time, eyes are opened. The curtain is pulled back. And people can begin to believe God's word. They can begin to believe God's promises and receive his blessings. And they can begin to, you know, make wise decisions according to the light of God's word about themselves, about their families, at their workplace. And that's why it's so important for you and I in this day and time to focus on God's word and not get distracted by the craziness going on in our culture. Yes, we know what's going on, but we can't get so immersed in it that we get distracted by the political climate, by the COVID climate, by the race climate, by the gender climate, or whatever other climates are going on, right? We don't get immersed in it and sidetracked and distracted. So we walk with the love of God in our hearts, and we speak God's word to others with love in order to open people's eyes and bring them God's blessings and God's deliverance. And we're going to close in Acts chapter 5, if you would. I'm just going to read a couple of verses in Acts 5, because we read Acts 3 and 4. We saw what happened. Well, they went back at it, speaking God's word, and they got arrested, and they were in jail, and they got, the angel came and busted them out of jail. Oh, that God would do something like that. Yeah, get out of there. So we're in Acts chapter 5 and verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is of the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, brought them forth, and said, "Go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." Us too. Go stand and speak. Go speak. Share God's word, the truth of God's word, the gospel concerning Jesus Christ. Go stand and speak. The angel didn't say, "Whew, you guys keep getting arrested like this. Go hide. Pack a to-go bag and go." You know? "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." I have a quote from Martin Luther, who lived during some pretty heavy persecution. Quote, "From the beginning of my Reformation, I have asked God to send me neither dreams, nor visions, nor angels, but to give me the right understanding of his word, the Holy Scriptures. For as long as I have God's word, I know that I am walking in his way, and that I shall not fall into any error or delusion." End of quote. Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Let's pray. Almighty God, our gracious, wonderful Heavenly Father, you are a God of power, a God of might. You are still a God of miracles. You are still a God of healing. You are still a great God of deliverance. And Father, we're so thankful for your word that you had written so that our eyes could be open, so that the light of your word, Father, could show us the right direction to live our lives. Thank you for our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who accomplished so much so that we could be your children, so that we could have all the great rights, privileges, and abilities that come with our complete salvation and redemption. Thank you again, Father, for your wonderful word and for a wonderful week ahead, that we can put all of our trust in you and that we can walk with the love of God in our hearts. And Father, give us open doors so that we could freely speak to people and bring deliverance to their lives as well. And we thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.